You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Welcome to the Man City Show. It's Nigel Rothman back in the chair. So honours even at Anfield, and that means just 1 point now separates the top three. A great game between two top sides with plenty to discuss. A fabulous goal straight from the training ground for Johnny Stones. KDB got in a bit of a strop, but Pep seemed to like it. Should there have been a penalty at the end? And what does that mean for the title race with 10 games to go? We'll also look back at City versus Copenhagen and also look at City against Newcastle in the FA Cup quarterfinal. Plenty, as I say, to discuss with my three guests, with John Stapleton. Hi, John.
Hi, Colin. How are you doing?
Good to see you. And to Edward Timpson. Hi, Edward.
Hi there, Nigel.
And finally to Rob Barron, CTID. Gentlemen, welcome one and all. Listen, good game between two evenly matched top teams, Edward. Is that fair, would you say?
Well, I think there's enough people who claim to be neutrals who watched it who said it was a fantastic game of football. And let's face it, it's not the normal fare that we get from City when they're playing Premier League or pretty much any game these days. But it just seems when we're at Anfield, when there's a crowd and they probably did need their 12th man, because you looked at the team sheets and you thought Liverpool, maybe they've got a few inexperienced players who may not be able to take the occasion to the highest limits that they're capable of. But it was a very intense game, very high quality, a few mistakes. Liverpool played their sort of heavy metal, sort of Klopp-style football where they just disrupt. It's quite anarchic. And although we controlled the first half extremely well, bearing in mind the environment, the conditions we're playing in, once that penalty went in, you could see that Liverpool's tails were up and we really were backs against the wall. And we saw some of the squad changes that Pep had to bring in, which you mentioned at the start, didn't necessarily go down that well with KDB. But it was edge of the seat stuff, desperate for the final whistle by the end. And I think once you sort of take a step back from being in the moment of that theatre, it probably is a decent point.
And I think, Rob, I would have taken a point before kickoff, I think. Wouldn't you?
I would certainly have taken the point after the penalty went in, because for the next 20 minutes, City were under the cosh. And it was very interesting to see. They were second to the ball. They weren't as passionate. And clearly, being as Edward says, being at Anfield had its impact. But it was a fabulous point, an absolutely wonderful point. Remember that Klopp said it was the best performance that Liverpool had played against City, and they didn't manage to win, which shows how impressive we are, even when we don't play particularly well. So I'm very, very happy with that. I'm very happy, paradoxically, that De Bruyne was angry, because we know that when he gets angry, he plays better and better. And that sometimes Pep thinks he's too quiet on the pitch. So that won't happen now. And I have to say, you know, people, so my last point, people criticise Pep for his lack of astute substitutions. But actually, his substitutions on Sunday saved City, because when Kovacic came on, the game went back to something like what City really are, which is a possession-based team. And so congratulations to Pep for doing that. It took some guts, but he did it.
We'll come on to the substitutions if we can. I think it was significant mainly because of the reaction from KDB and Pep going and put his arm around him as well, John. But before we do that, just kind of the game itself, you could argue Liverpool dropped 2 points at home.
You could argue. I mean, I thought, first and foremost, it was a fantastic piece of entertainment, even for the neutrals, a fabulous game to watch. It was like watching two heavyweight champions slug it out over 15 rounds. Dominant for us in the first half. I thought we played superbly in the first half. Second half, as has been said already, after that penalty, was hide behind the couch time. Having said all that, I thought we managed the game well in the end. I agree with Rob completely. More than happy to come away with the point, particularly given all the bad luck we've had at Anfield over the years. And although the fat lady hasn't sung yet, she's warbling in the wings. And I'm still confident that she'll give us a chorus at the end of the season.
Let's talk then, can we, Rob, about the substitution then, particularly. We'll come back to the goals and other issues. I think that this is the thing that probably got most headlines. Your thoughts about that then and the reaction. You said you were pleased that KDB got angry because he comes back. It didn't look great, though, did it? From a player to come off, didn't really want to shake hands with the bench. Pep had to go and put his arm around. Didn't look great in terms of harmony, did it? You still happy with that?
I'm absolutely happy. KDB is footballing royalty. His behaviour is normally impeccable. He's entitled to sound off occasionally and to be listened to by Pep, which Pep clearly did. Pep handled it beautifully. He didn't just bat him away. He went to talk to him to try and calm him down. And when he couldn't do that, he walked off. So I think that's good person management by Pep. I mean, De Bruyne, the goal that he created was wonderful, and we should never forget that. You know, that will go down as one of the most interesting goals of the season. And a player of less skill than De Bruyne would not have been able to do that. So I think that was the right thing to do. I also think that Doku, who is very, very frustrating, but also... he's quite potentially brilliant, and he could have changed the game by his kick against the post. He did come on and he made a contribution by stretching Liverpool down the left-hand side. So, you know, that's what a manager should be doing. It's not about being popular with the players. Did he rescue City through a bad patch? Yes, that's exactly what he did. So he's entitled to be quite happy with what happened.
John, your interpretation of the substitution, of De Bruyne's reaction to that and how Pep handled it?
Well, I must say I was rather surprised when KDB was substituted. Yes, I was. But let's not forget, up until that point, 20 minutes in that second half, as Rob said earlier, it had been high behind the couch time. I mean, we were taken apart like I've never seen City taken apart before, not even by Bayern Munich, not even by Real Madrid, not even by Barcelona. We were taken to bits for 15, 20 minutes. I was really very concerned indeed. So arguably something had to be done. I didn't think KDB was having a particularly bad game, actually. I mean, I've actually seen him play worse than that, to be honest. But, you know, he's a fantastic player and a great asset to the team. But as Robert said, Pep was right. I mean, Kovacic coming on changed the game. He held the ball. He kept possession. And Doku... I agree again with Rob. You know, he is frustrating, but he is a menace down the left-hand side. He, like, a bit like Haaland, you know, he demands some attention from the opposition. So I thought in the end, typical Pep, you know, think, why has he done that? Why has he done that? And then after the game, you realise why. So, yes, a good result. And as I've said, point at Anfield is to be savoured.
And Edward, in some quarters, some City fans have criticised Pep. They see De Bruyne as the one player who could have won that game for us, and by taking him off meant that we were playing for a draw. Do you got a different view from either Rob or John in terms of what we saw?
Well, in hindsight, I've thought about this, and it was quite a conundrum as to how to change the way the game was starting to pan out. And, you know, we were not really commanding the midfield. KDB wasn't getting the same space. He was getting smothered a lot. And Alvarez was unfortunately not having his best game. So you could see the case for Alvarez coming off and then maybe bringing Kovacic on for Alvarez to just give us a bit more beef in the middle. But of course, that would then, in Guardiola's sort of mind, be perhaps overly defensive when you're trying to win the game, which is when the Doku factor comes in, or Oscar Bob would have been probably the other option. So then who do you take off? Is it Bernardo Silva? Well, he gives you lots of other things that that KDB can't give you. And so that's probably where he ended up coming to the conclusion that KDB probably is given the most he can in the circumstances of that game, however well he had actually played in the first half and created that brilliant set piece. So, you know, you can see it from both sides, and maybe over the next 10 games, the fact that KDB now feels he's really got to prove for everybody he is the world's best in that position is no bad thing. But having thought about it, I can't see any other sort of way he could have both freed up some of the attacking options and as well as giving us a bit more shape and solidity in the middle. So it's a difficult one. And, you know, in Pep we trust, and we'll just hope that he continues to make the right calls for the rest of the season.
John, can we touch on Kovacic? Because he's not necessarily had a fantastic run in the side, but he did have an impact, didn't he? Things did change when he came on. He kind of filled in at the back there with Rodri in that kind of defensive midfield role, and did make a difference, didn't he?
He certainly did, and I'm a fan of Kovacic. He's not had a major role to play in the team so far this year, but whenever he's come on, he's never let us down, you know. And I think, you know, to just go back to the decision to take off Alvarez, I'm a big fan of Alvarez too, but he had a bit of a stinker, Frank, at Anfield. Let's face it, he kept, you know, his passes kept going astray. Didn't have the impact he normally had. One shot on goal that was tested the goalkeeper. But apart from that, I think it was a wise move to take him off. And Kovacic, yeah, I mean, a better asset and a better buy so far, in my view, than Nunes and the two close season signings, without a shadow of a doubt. And he made a difference, as we said already. So, yeah, in Pep we trust.
Yeah, but we've heard that more than once. Kovacic, happy with him, Rob?
Probably. Absolutely. He's much more skillful than I had realised when he played for other teams. And watching him is a delight. He's a magnificent player. And, you know, if we're going to win the Premier League, it won't be by the team. It will be by the squad. So being able to call on him, being able to call on Oscar Bob, who played well in against Copenhagen, but also Nunes, you know, who gets a rough time from City supporters. But he's very close to being an outstandingly good player. Not yet, but, you know, he's new and we have to give him time.
What's he like, Robbie, in your view? Because I'm not a fan so far. What is he like? What's your analysis?
I think his last pass or his shot is too often off the mark. And so his unique skill in getting past players is not reflected in the outcome because something happens. Perhaps he doesn't have the confidence, but he does have pace. I didn't think he did, but he does have some pace when he's got the ball. It's just the final piece. We're a bit like Doku in that respect.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. You took the words from my mouth, yeah.
Edward, one final word on Kovacic, and then maybe we can pick up on these two goals. But kick off just briefly with Kovacic first before I come back to you with the training ground goal that was magnificent to kick things off at Anfield.
Well, it's worth remembering, before he went off the boil at Chelsea, which pretty much every Chelsea player went off the boil, you know, he had played at Real Madrid. He'd been a stalwart of the Croatian team when they'd been successful internationally. So he's won a lot. So he's a great person to have in the squad. And I agree with Rob. His level of footballing ability, as well as his reading of the game, is much better than I thought it was, and certainly that he was displaying at Chelsea. And apart from a couple of games where he's maybe been a bit loose in his play, by and large, he's been an asset. And with the running, he's just exactly the sort of player that I think we're going to have to call upon when it could get a bit sticky. So, again, another clever, smart purchase. Someone with experience and others around, and will be learning from him like they did from others who are probably at a higher level than Kovacic, the sort of Fernandinhos of this world. But overall, when we've asked him to step up, he has. And the game on Sunday, he did everything that was asked of him. We couldn't really fault his performance.
All right. Sticking with you then, Edward, the training ground goal then, corner from the right. Was it Akanji who was holding off the defender? I can't remember who it was, actually. Ake. So Ake held the defender there, which was quite smart, used his strength, used his body, whatever you want to say. And there was Johnny Stones to tap it in. I mean, clearly been worked on for weeks, I would imagine.
Well, I think the interview afterwards, John Stones said, sort of the day before they'd been practicing a little bit, that I never thought I would get to know the name of a set-piece coach of Manchester City. First of all, I never thought we'd ever have one. We used to basically have a manager and a guy next to him, sort of Ted Lasso style, trying to work out how to get 11 people on the pitch and move around in sort of harmony. But Carlos Vicens, I think his name is, has come up. This is the second time I think he's been noted for coming up with a great set play. But of course, it has to be executed as well. And the ball in by De Bruyne wasn't inch perfect, it was millimetre perfect for what was then required. And of course, Liverpool zonal mark when it comes to corners. So they worked that out. Then you put Ake sort of just slightly away, closer to the goal line, away from the zonal markers. That then makes sure that Stones is onside when he starts his run. Move the guy at the front post out the way, and hey presto, you've got a free hit on goal. And it all sounds very simple when you say it, but to actually do that in that sort of game was a testament to just the level of skill and just the quality that we have available to us to actually put something on the practice ground on the pitch. And you know, John Stones has proved it. He can not just stop goals, but he can in big games, but he can come up trumps as well. And he certainly enjoyed the celebrations, showed how much it meant to him, which is great to see.
And John Stones, Rob, is one of those players, isn't he, who's really improved under Pep and has become such a favourite amongst the fans with his own chant now and everything. I mean, really is a very, very popular figure for all the right reasons.
Absolutely. And the way he celebrated was wonderful to behold, because he was clearly extremely pleased with what had happened. But, you know, Stones used to be called the Barnsley Beckenbauer, I think. And I used to think that was probably an overestimation of him, because although he was a good player, I didn't think he had the skill of Beckenbauer. But watching him play, both in defence and midfield, particularly the last few weeks, he has enormous skill and vision, which makes him a very, very special player. If you consider a couple of years ago, he was being criticised for giving the ball away and making mistakes, and he played a couple of bad games for England. That is completely gone, and it's a real tribute to the coaches that they've rescued him, and he's rescued himself. And he's now an outstanding player and a very flexible player. It's a privilege to watch him.
Great, great player. The Barnsley Beckenbauer, John.
I think he's a fantastic player, and Rob's absolutely right to draw attention to the fact that, you know, not that long ago, he was having a really rough time. He wasn't playing well. Apparently, he was having some problems off the field as well, domestically. But he has overcome that. Not only he can do that bit himself, he's overcome that. He's arguably one of the best players in his position in the world now, I would say. I mean, stunning development, really, over the last couple of years. And that was so... I mean, I had to look twice. Has that really gone in? I couldn't believe it had gone in. It's astounding. Astounding goal. So precise as everyone. So precise. And well done, Ake, for holding off McAllister. Well, anyway, holding off a Liverpool player to keep him out of the way. Yeah, a great start to the game by City. But he went pear-shaped after that.
Well, let's talk about getting pear-shaped. And I'll stick with you, John, if I can. I was only the other week, I was talking about Ake, how he's one of my favourite players at City. And I think I used the expression, he's never let City down. Obviously, the lad, it was a bit short. And then Ederson came out, and we'll come on to his injury in a second as well, which was announced just before we came on air. I think he's out for up to 4 weeks as well. But just your thoughts about that, about what you saw?
I'm right with you. I'm a big Ake fan. I think he's developed brilliantly. He's obviously a good team player. He's good to have around the club. From all I hear and see, never makes a fuss, never complains about anything. So, you know, even when he's not in the team, he doesn't complain. He can play left back. He can play centre back. Great asset. And that's as I like you. That's the first time I've seen him make a mistake. And in fairness, the goal was only half his fault because Ederson came in, right, well, let's put it mildly, enthusiastically, didn't he? Rather late and enthusiastically. Clear-cut penalty, no question about it. Yeah, I think they should share the blame for that one. Unfortunate, to put it mildly, but, you know, there we are, that's football.
And the injury, Edward, do you think that's significant? Because you could argue that our deputy's never really let us... Yeah, exactly. Ortega's never let us down. I've said it now. There you go. I've done it now. But again, when he came on, he pulled off a couple of saves. And when he's played in the cup competitions, he's always looked very solid, I think, hasn't he? I'm less worried, actually, than maybe Rodri being out, for example, or somebody like that.
Yeah, no, I'm with you on that. We've had other understudy goalkeepers who we haven't had quite the same faith in. Bravo probably being the one who was, had the least apt name for how we felt about him.
What about Alan Ogley? Is that another one maybe you were going to mention as well? I know Rob might remember him as well, but maybe not. Maybe before your time. John will also remember Alan Ogley.
Alan Ogley, Steve Fleet. Look, can we just talk about Ederson for a moment? So I go to the games and I am waiting for Ederson to have a lunatic moment every game. And he does. And that's part of the genius of Ederson. We have to remember that without him, we probably wouldn't have won the Champions League final because he played absolutely brilliantly in that. But, you know, he does have these mad moments, and that was one of them. And it goes with the territory, I'm afraid. And he shouldn't have done it, but he did it. It was a lack of judgment. And I'm quite happy with Ortega, along with the rest of you, because I think he's more of a calming influence than Ederson is at the moment.
Sorry, Edward. I sort of interrupted you and then introduced Rob, which is, I know you're only just about started your answer. Back to you and Ederson, please.
Well, just to remind everyone that the next 3 to 4 weeks, we've only got one game, which is an FA Cup game, which Ortega would have played anyway. The question mark will hang over the Arsenal match on the 31st of March, which is going to fall within that, probably that 3 to 4 weeks. But I'm not concerned for all the reasons the others have said. I actually think Ortega, when he came on, there was the Nunez point-blank save. That was not easy. His positioning is very good. His distribution's good. He's calm. The back four seem to trust him just as much, maybe even occasionally a bit more than Ederson when they're not quite sure what he's going to do. So I think we're fortunate that in the same way Liverpool have been with their understudy goalkeeper and Keller, who's been outstanding since he's come in for Alisson and unfortunately was again against us. I don't think we've got anything to worry about. And maybe it's something that will just help freshen the team a little bit and remind them that they've all got their role to play to get us over the line.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
John, anything to add for the, on the Edison Ortega saga?
Well, I'm with Rob. You know, my heart's in my mouth sometimes when I see Edison play. It does take some incredible risks. But having said all that, as also has been rightly said, you know, he helped us win the Champions League and has helped us time and time again. Spectacular. High insurance risk. Well, not high, but high insurance risk. But a great goalkeeper. And not for nothing is he the Brazil number one, sometimes, well, number two, sometimes number one. And Ortega. I never even heard of Ortega until he arrived on our shores, as it were. I can't even remember where we got him from or what we paid for him. But he's not let us, again, another one who's not let us down, another shrewd investment. So, yeah, I have no worries at all.
So we kind of, I think, all said we'd take a point before that, doesn't it? Just means, as I said at the start, we've got, what, 1 point between the three at the top, 10 games to go. And of course, we've still got Arsenal to come as well. So, Edward, look, come on, let's look at this this run-in. We'll do this over the next few weeks. As much change, does it give you more confidence, less confidence? City's still in it, of course.
The strange thing is, it probably hasn't changed the sort of conundrum and the situation that much as to where we're going to get our points from, because it literally was felt like a score draw over the weekend. Everyone says, oh, well, Arsenal will feel best about it, but then they've got to play us next. I mean, listen, I think the next 10 games, no one's going to win all 10 games. And if they do, then I'll come back on and apologise profusely, particularly if it's us who do that. I think we're going to have to win 9 and lose 1, as long as it's not against Arsenal, or win 8 and draw 2 to get to the points total. Because don't forget, our goal difference for the first time in a very long time is the worst out of the three teams. Arsenal are quite ahead of us now. And we just haven't been getting those big scores to help our goal difference like we have in previous seasons. So I think we are going to need to be ahead on points against the other two teams. Liverpool, as they say, have it now in their hands. If they win all their games, they win. And good luck to them if they do. They will deserve to. But there's still so much that could happen. Liverpool have got a trickier run on paper at the last 4 or 5 games of the season. But it'll be one of those games that people think is in the bag, you know, against someone like West Ham or that sort of calibre team, that any of them could slip up. And particularly when the high stakes get even higher towards the end of the season for other teams as well, down the bottom, those who are trying to get into Europe. So still a lot to play for. But my hunch is we're going to have to win 8 or draw 2 or win 9 and lose 1, but not against Arsenal.
John, you more confident, less confident after the weekend?
I'm exactly the same. I think, as Edward said, I think it hasn't really changed a great deal, has it? I think his analysis was spot on. And if we lose, it'll probably be to Fulham or West Ham. You know, a team you think on paper at least we should easily beat. You know, it's not impossible to win every game. Not impossible by any stretch of the imagination. We've done similar things before. I'm still confident we'll win the league, just about, by the skin of our teeth. But the goal difference is a bit of a worry, as it's already been highlighted. I think we're 10 or 11 behind Arsenal, I can't remember. 7 or 8 behind Liverpool. Figures of that order, which is unusual for us. But there's time, you know, 10 more games. It's a long road yet to run down. So, yeah, fingers crossed. I think we can make it.
10 games, Rob. It's in the bag.
It's not in the bag, but it's a lot better than it was at this time last season. When we won the league in 10 years ago or whatever, we were 7 points behind at Easter. So, you know, this is eminently doable. And, you know, it gives me great hope. I was listening to Rodri talk, and the confidence without the arrogance about coming late and being in top form at the end of the season is very impressive when he talks about it. And I'm really excited about the remaining games. And the Arsenal game will be a fabulous opportunity. You know, I just say this, that Liverpool should have scored 4 or 5 goals yesterday and failed to do that because their strikers missed. And Arsenal's goalkeeper is suspect. And they don't always have the killer instinct. So we're in a really good position, and we should play it game by game and just do the best that we can. And I hope that the crowd at the Etihad realise how important it is to get behind the team, because the Copenhagen game was a bit quiet for me.
We'll come on to that and briefly. And just before we do that, just one other sort of thought from each of you. Edward, if you can kick off. Just, it's been, again, a lot of column inches dedicated to sort of Pep versus Klopp. We know it's Klopp's last season in the Premier League. Two successful managers, two managers who are seen to be at the top of their game. Clearly, the Scousers absolutely love Klopp, and us Mancunians absolutely love Pep as well. I'm just interested, from your perspective, how you see the two personalities, the differences between the two managers, and maybe the legacy that Klopp and Pep are going to leave.
You're certainly right. There's been a lot of column inches or written about it around this game. And we don't know. We may end up playing them again in the FA Cup. So there's one last hurrah, albeit not at the Etihad or at Anfield. Some parallels people are trying to draw between the Sir Ferguson and Wenger era, although I think maybe they had a slightly different relationship than the one we seem to see from Klopp and Guardiola. But also, if you look over the years, because they played each other in different countries as well for club teams, that's in itself not been replicated in many places. There are sort of Kloppites who like to say, well, he's always had the underdog team. Pep's always had the top team. It's Bayern Munich and City. And so Klopp's punching above his weight. And clearly his record's very good against Guardiola. And they do play a different style of football, albeit I think they will... once the dust has settled, admit that they perhaps have nicked a few ideas off each other over the years, like the inverted right back coming in. We started that, and then Klopp tried it with Trent Alexander-Arnold. So I think, you know, it's been a great rivalry. It's produced some fantastic games of football. And I can't not like Jurgen Klopp and his interview after the match yesterday, just the way he just said what he felt about the game, almost sounding like he was a fan rather than just a coach. But I think when history looks back, Pep will be the manager that most people will say he's changed football more than any other manager in his era, maybe any era. And for that, as a City fan, I would always have preferred to have him as our manager rather than Klopp, as good as Klopp is.
Rob, your thoughts on the two personalities?
I rather agree with Edward. I think it's hard to criticise someone for being the second best manager in the Premier League, and we should take our hat off to him. He has certain interesting personality traits. He's voluble. He's partisan to the point of... craziness, in my view, and he's opportunistic. So all this nonsense about City having all the money and Liverpool wouldn't spend it, and then he goes out and spends exactly the same amount of money as City. You know, he knows how to play the game. And I think that actually Guardiola is more mature than Klopp. But I think you have to take your hat off to both of them. I agree with Edward that Pep is... a great manager, and I think Klopp is an outstandingly good manager, but not a great one.
Where do you stand, John? I think I know.
I think we'll miss Klopp. From a consumer's point of view, I think he's great value. He's great on the telly. He's great for our business. Great for television. And you know, the Wenger Ferguson rivalry was mentioned a little bit earlier. Pep and Klopp are much more consumer-friendly than the two of them. And you've got to hand it to Klopp. You know, yes, he spent a fair bit of money, but he's developed a great team. And the way they took City apart, as I mentioned earlier in that second half, was quite amazing, really. And, you know, he's his faith in the young kids, too, and the way he looks after those young kids and speaks up for his team, I applaud him considerably. I think they're both fantastic managers, good players and fantastic managers. Been a privilege having them both with us, and Pep obviously will be with us for some time to come. But yeah, all credit to Klopp, great guy, seems a nice guy, and a great manager.
Let's look back briefly at Copenhagen then. Rob, it was already 3-1, and it was, I think, after 9 minutes, it was pretty much all over as well, wasn't it? A great start from City, two quick goals, just settled the nerves and meant we could sort of just walk through the, which is maybe the reason why the fans were maybe sort of as quiet that you made reference to that.
Yeah, I was in the Colin Bell stand and I was sitting next to a guy who told me very proudly that he'd come over with the Copenhagen team and he had a big badge on explaining how important he was. And then City scored twice, as you say, in the first 10 minutes. And he turned to me and he said, "Should I go home now?" Which I think, yeah, it did take some of the tension out of the game. But, you know, we have to support our team through all the trials that they face, because the danger of that game was that they would become a bit complacent and give them the opportunity to come back into the game, which they did at 2-1. So it wasn't memorable, but it was encouraging to see that Pep's prepared to rely on people like Oscar Bob, who I think is a fabulous talent. And we're going to see a lot more of him. And Nunes as well, given game time. So, you know, very happy. Can't wait for the draw. Is it on Friday?
Right, Friday morning, I think, yeah. Yeah. John, 30 games since our last Champions League defeat at the Etihad. Who would have thought we'd been saying that 30 years ago, hey?
Particularly in the days when we were playing Port Vale and York City. Yes, absolutely. No, this was men and boys, wasn't it? And it was boys and boys in the end, but we got something. We brought a few young son as well. But the atmosphere, I've mentioned this before, I think is a bit of a concern. It's like sitting in Central Library, it was at one stage, you know, so quiet. And actually, I have a theory about this, which I hope is not misinterpreted, but increasingly, as I think we mentioned before, I find myself surrounded by people who, the people I do know sitting by me describe as day trippers, people who spend the entire game filming the match, taking selfies of themselves, people who are one-off City fans or maybe coming twice. Now, obviously very important for business, great that we've got them on board, great for the sort of prestige of the club, great for its image of the, but I think that does contribute to the atmosphere because they're not jumping up and standing and, you know, screaming from the rafters every time we score a goal. They're sitting down taking pictures of themselves. I do think that's a factor, but I don't know what you do about it because we just certainly don't want a half-empty stadium. And let's not forget, it's City fans, stalwart City fans, who sold them the ticket, sold them their seat in the first place. So we can't complain too bitterly, can we?
And we're building some more seats as well, as you've seen, of course, at one end of the ground. As well, so there'll be even more seats available for day trippers. But I'll take your point. Edward?
Well, hopefully that new north stand will be with a sort of second tier being double height, as it were, will actually create more atmosphere. If you go, like I have on one occasion so far, I think unfortunately it wasn't one that we won, but the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium, where they have one end which is pretty much like that, and the noise that comes off that is quite something. So hopefully when it eventually is completed, it will be filled with people who can generate that sort of noise. And you know, John does have a point about what I call the half scarvers. You know, you see them sitting there, they just bought their half City scarf and half ever playing against scarf, and it doesn't necessarily help with sort of chance getting up and just creating a bit of a buzz around the ground. But the game was over against Copenhagen after, as you say, 8 minutes. It's good to see Lewis and Bob and some of the younger players getting a run out, Nunes as well. And it's been also good just for the management of the team. They played a lot of football since Christmas. Rodri's saying to the staff to the game against Liverpool that, you know, they really do need a break, so it's come at a good time. But 3-1 just seems to be our stock score in every single European game. And to think that we could have put to bed a knockout Champions League game and have youngsters on was for the birds not that many years ago. So we're in a great position. There's some big, big teams in the next round, though, of the Champions League draws, you would expect. PSG, Bayern and Real and all those sorts of teams that got through. So it's going to be tougher next time round, and we have to factor that in when it comes to the league and just make sure we can keep all our best players fresh for the running and not hopefully suffer too many nasty little injuries.
Just one small matter, which is a potential trip to Wembley before we go, John. We've got Newcastle at the weekend, FA Cup quarterfinal again. We won't get into why a semi-finals are in Wembley, but that's for another day. I'm sure we covered that many times. We can all shake our heads at that. It's ridiculous, but we know that. But just looking ahead to that, John, your thoughts ahead of the Newcastle quarterfinal?
No problems, frankly. And Pep always takes the FA Cup seriously, so he'll put out a proper side. And we've had, you know, the advantage of a few days rest after the Anfield game, so I can't see any problem whatsoever. They're very up and down, Newcastle, aren't they? You know, difficult to predict what they're going to do, but I can't see us losing that one, not in a million years. And I may regret that remark too, but very confident we'll win that with ease.
And you've got to imagine, Edward, as well, that he's going to put out a fairly strong side as well, isn't he? I would have thought.
I think he will put out a strong side. Newcastle, they've not got a huge amount to play for in the league now this season, so they're desperate to win a trophy. Was the last one, was it the Fairs Cup or something in 1956 or whatever it is. So this, the fans will see this as a massive opportunity for them to try and get a stage nearer Wembley. But I think we'll be too strong for them. The Newcastle has gone off the boil this season. As has been said, they've been pretty inconsistent. And I think because we've got a bit of time to prepare and the players to recover, plus the subsequent game against Arsenal, is another week on, two weeks on from there. I think I put out a strong team, and our home game in the Cup, I expect us under the lights to dispatch Newcastle and take us off to Wembley yet again.
Fancy another trip to Wembley, Rob?
Absolutely. It's 4 miles down the road, which would be nice for a change. I mean, should be able to rise to the occasion to beat Newcastle. I mean, I'll be going to watch Haaland because it's just wonderful to see him. Against Copenhagen, he was criticising his teammates for not trying hard enough. And, you know, we saw it again and again that he loves scoring and he's not put off by missing. And it's just a privilege to watch him. So we have the best striker in British football and Newcastle don't.
Well, it's a privilege having my three guests as well this week. Thank you to Rob Barron, CTID, to Edward Timpson and to John Stapleton. This is Nigel Rothman saying thanks for listening and we'll talk to you all very soon.
If you want to advertise on or sponsor this show, check us out at playbackmedia.co.uk.
Sports Social Podcast Network.